This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, this last week we went to London, England, where we talked with Scott Penrose and also to Oscar Munoz while he was over there. And this week we travel again around the globe, this time to Macau, China, where we're going to get a talk with Franz Harari and Rocco Solano. And Rocco is over there working with Franz at his House of Magic in Macau. This is an incredible place that was opened in late 2015. And I can only say that I think you probably need to be there in order to really experience this place. But this may be about as close as many of us will get to Macau in order to actually, quote, see what this House of Magic is all about. Now, let me preface this podcast by saying that this was, this is going to be a new year of unique opportunities for us to do podcasts. This particular one was perhaps the most interesting, challenging, and different as far as trying to record it, should I say. The deal was that I had called Franz on his cell phone, and so Rocco was holding the phone, and so you can hear me through the speakerphone, but then Franz was using another smartphone instrument in order to record the video. So his side of it sounds fantastic, which is good. You really want to hear him more than you do of me, of course. But moreover, as he was going through, he basically was describing what we were seeing on the video that he was recording at the time and streaming live, as you can then kind of occasionally hear me talking on the speakerphone that Rocco was holding. So he kind of repeats some of the questions, so this way you get to hear everything, but most importantly, you get to hear what Franz has to say as he and Rocco give us this tour looking around the House of Magic there in Macau. Again, this is a multi-million dollar thing. I'm going to say, I don't know, he hasn't said, but I'm going to estimate maybe $50 million or something like that for the building of this place, which is inside of a casino. So it is huge. And beyond that, that also Franz talks about the cost of the millions of dollars that he has paid for the illusions that he's performing there in the House of Magic. I have edited this so that you will be able to have the best audio possible, and so imagine what was going on in my mind. It will be the same thing probably which was going on in your mind. So this is kind of a visual tour of the House of Magic through your ears. If you want to actually see what the place looks like, I will have a video on the MagicWordPodcast.com, which was the actual video that was being taken at the time. So it's kind of funny, after you hear this on the podcast and then go and watch it, perhaps you might have a little bit different sense of what actually was being seen at the time. I think it's kind of fun to listen and visualize one thing, but perhaps see something entirely different. It's kind of like that a lot of times people have asked me, well, I wish you would post pictures of your guests so this way that I have an idea of what they look like, because some of them I don't know who they are nor what they look like, and I have an idea when I hear them, but then when I see their picture, it's completely different. Same thing here. Perhaps it could be that what you're visualizing after hearing the podcast may be different from what you see when you actually watch the video. That, again, will be on the website. But I don't think that you lose anything by just hearing it only if you don't get a chance to view it. This is a phenomenal place. And beyond just seeing the place towards the end, that Franz also talks about some of his philosophy and some of his thoughts on magic. And this is a very interesting podcast. I know that you'll enjoy it. And so live from Macau, please welcome Franz Harari and Rocco here on The Magic Word.
All right, we're live with Scott Wells here on the stage of Mega Magic.
Yeah, amazing.
We just finished a show. I'm going to walk out in the audience here with Rocco. We're about to lose video. That's Bean. He's our video op. He's going to leave in about 20 seconds. But I thought I'd show you guys a little bit of the video technology.
No,
keep it on speaker so we can hear Scott.
There
you go.
All right.
So that's Scott. That's Rocco. You should strike a pose. Rocco's going to strike a pose in front of the car. There we go. All right, Bean, we're good. Thank you very much. All right. So there we go. Now, Scott, I literally just... We're actually on the stage. We just finished the last show cycle. We're good, Bean. Thanks. I did one show. Actually, today I did three shows. Rocco did...
Six shows.
Today. Six shows for Rocco. I am still in my costume. I've got...
He works very hard, man. It's amazing back here.
I've literally got my microphone on, and I'm still wearing my costume. We just finished the show. So what I'm going to do is... Actually, Hector, can you give his hand? We've got Hector here.
Yeah, Hector.
Hector's going to come on up.
Spain, man.
All right, Hector from Spain.
Spain. Look at that smile.
I know Hector.
No, hey. Hector Ruiz.
Hector, whatever.
Well, he's a great musician.
So I'm going to give Hector the camera.
Sure.
And you are now shooting Rocco.
Oh. Hold on. Yes. How do I turn this around?
Just like this.
Just like that. Okay.
Rocco, I'm going to go get out of my costume because I'm all sweaty. You guys are doing a one-hour podcast. That's what he says.
It's not an hour.
It's because Rocco...
Yeah, we go an hour.
I don't know what to say for an hour.
I'm going to have to sit down for this. You have a couple of questions for me, right?
I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
I do.
Okay. Are you going to come back?
I just got to change my clothes, towel myself down.
All right. I'll be right here sitting down. All right, Hector?
Let me sit down.
You're live. All right. Oh, we're still live? Oh, boy. All right. Go ahead, Hector. Looks like he's got us live. So what's going on, Scott?
Yeah, so what I was going to say is that it's sort of hot after he gets changed and come back to ask a few questions of him about the magic show here as well with Macau and how he developed that and everything. But I want to talk to you just about some of the stuff that you've been doing. Now, as I understand this, this is what, about a 160-seat theater or something?
No, you can take a look. Panda's Theater, this theater holds 300 people.
Okay.
There's actually three theaters here. Franz does what's called the mega show in this theater of 300 people. This is Hector. Hector's performing in the other room called the Lair Theater. That holds 150 people. And I work in the Majestic Theater, which also holds 100 people. At the end of both shows, they both funnel in together to join up for the big show, which holds 300 people. Yes, that's got the bigger stage that fits the Ferraris with all the illusions. The biggest illusions I've ever seen in my life. It's like organized chaos back here. There's pulleys, there's springs, there's chains, there's smoke, there's fire, there's tubes. It's so amazing. He's taking me backstage where he vanishes on stage and then he appears in the back of the theater, right back there. And he's brought me with him to walk underneath and jump up so I make an appearance with him. It's very interesting. Very interesting to get to see what goes on behind an illusion show. Because, you know, I'm just a sleight of hand guy.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, no, it's new for me, man.
So you're going to be the beautiful assistant, kind of, in the illusion show.
Yeah, you can say that. You can say that, Scott. So you're talking to me from Texas now, right? Okay, yeah.
So we are, what do you say, 14 hours, I think, time difference between Houston and Macau?
Yes, it is. 14-hour difference.
Yeah. So, it's still morning here. Just having my cup of coffee, and you have finished the shows for the day.
Yes, we do.
I was going to ask, as far as some of the way that you and Hector and Franz work the show, that are you guys working such that you are doing, like, your bit as Hector does something, and then
here's how it works, man. I'm going to give you exactly what happens. Me and Hector, we get on a bus at around 3 o'clock, right? We get here at 3:15. We get into costume, and then we do a show at 4 o'clock. It lasts to 4:15. Then at 4:25, we do another show, 10 minutes after.
Right.
We get done with that show, then we got a 20-minute break, and then we wait for the big show to end, and we take a bow. Then we got 10 minutes. Then at 4 o'clock, another show starts. It finishes at 4:15. At 4:25, we do another 15-minute show. We wait around, and then at 5:15, we come on stage to take a bow. We got 15 minutes, and at 6 o'clock, we do it again. We do a 15-minute show. It ends at 6:15, 6:25, we do another show. We wait around 20 minutes. At 7:15, we take a bow. Then at 8 o'clock, we do it again. On Saturday and Sunday, there's 8 shows.
Yeah.
8. See my fingers? 8 of them. Right, Hector?
It's really a lot of shows.
And if you don't have your show down to a science, you will by the time it's done. Hey, look at this. Look who just opened, came in. Come here, Arcadio. Come here. I'm going to introduce you to Arcadio. He's a Spanish magician, too. He works, does everything. He fills in for Franz to do the mega show. He works in the laboratory. And on our days off, he substitutes for me and Hector. He does everything. Illusions, this is Arcadio from Spain. So we're working, I'm working with the Spanish mafia here. Very charming guy.
Hello, Arcadio. This is Scott Wells from Magic Word Podcast.
Yes, this is Scott Wells from Magic Podcast.
Hello, nice to meet you.
This is going to go all over America and probably going to be seen at Factor in New York, the biggest close-up magic convention in the world. Right, Scott?
That's right. Yep, it was the official close-up convention.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing you there again. Well, you are going to be the guest of honor this year,
Marco. Yes, I am. I'm very honored. I've been going there for about 17 years, and Obi finally decided to give me the guest of honor. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually going to be performing my 15-minute show that I've been doing here. I'm going to, like I normally do, I close the first half of the show. I hope you're going to be there, and all my friends out there, come by, man. Come see me. Come say hi.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything from my normal show, because after you're done with the show, you only have 10 minutes to set up. So I try to keep it pretty basic. I do coins, I'm doing cards and a newspaper tear, because that's easy setup. And then I'm doing some of my manipulation stuff. Would you like to see the theaters where me, Hector, and Arcadio work? Come on, let's take them for a tour.
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
Okay, you don't go.
You really can't see what we're seeing. All right, I got you. Well, this is the... Maybe you can go on Flanders' website and go see this, because I think he's going to post it as a live as a live cast on Facebook. You see?
Okay.
But,
do you know, is that why he's posting this?
He's going to put it on Facebook. All right, this is the Lair Theater where Hector works and Arcadio fills in. It's a beautiful theater. It hosts 150 people. The stage is very beautiful with trees all around. There's the stage. All right? You can see the cut. While I walk for the other one, do you have any questions that we need to cover? No. Hector has his own stage called the Lair Theater. I have my own stage here called the Majestic Theater. They both hold 150 people. While Hector performs in one room, I perform in the other room. And then they switch.
Then they switch.
My audience goes in his theater, his audience comes in my theater, and then they both funnel into the big theater where Franz is performing.
Okay, yeah, I understand that now. For some reason, I'm stating that the show is first, but it's actually in three different states often.
Yeah. Yes, the House of Magic. Very interesting concept. Designed very nice. Then they have the laboratory where the people come in at first and they watch Travis do close-up magic. And then some guy disappears from the audience on this machine over here. That's very, very interesting. I don't know how Franz develops all these illusions. He's got the most intense mind, stuff that is so complex. An audience member vanishes from a prop And then during the show, he appears out of nowhere on the stage wearing the dress. The guy vanished, an audience member, he vanishes from the audience.
Wow.
On this contraption that the time machine, and then somewhere during the show, unexpectedly, the guy appears on the stage wearing the dress. The audience really loved the show. Franz does a great job, man. His the way he handles these people is absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I know he has a very nice personality and a very engaging character on stage. So I'm sure he can be very engaging, and the way he handles audiences is excellent. So the theater person that you're looking at right now, how would the size of the stage?
Stage about 30 feet wide. Steve, please.
Lisa, I'm going to try to get
there.
Excuse me, Lisa, can you tell me what is the dimensions of the stage? I'm speaking with Scott Wells from America. He's doing a live magic cast to all magicians around the world. What do you think the dimensions of the stage is?
We're about 16 wide and about 12 feet.
16 what?
Meters.
16 meters wide.
Right. And how many? 12 feet.
And 12 meters deep. You know what that converts into feet? Yeah. And it's all LED screen. There's no scenery on the stage. Everything is all LED electronic scenes where dancers appear on the stage and then multiply via this LED screen. And the whole stage is full of LED lights. There's got to be millions of LED lights on the stage. There's a motorcycle over here. He vanishes. Two guys on a motorcycle. Here's a stage over here at the center of a big circle. And it's spins. It's got air in the water for the chance to be the wind. There's a contraption here where girls appear.
All right.
Amazing. Franz is back. Franz is back.
Hector is still shooting. Oh, yeah, my God.
We gave him a little tour.
Look at there. Here is Hector. Are you bored stupid by now?
I'm having a lot of fun with Rob explaining how the House of Magic works.
Great.
I'm like in wonderment just watching this place.
So here is a trick. They're reloading now. These are actually rings that girls appear on. You can see all this stuff if you go to my website, go online. And now they have to pre-set them all. I'll tell you a secret. I actually wasn't sure this was going to work.
I wasn't
100%
sure. Like a charm,
I gambled about $200,000 on this.
It worked great.
It works.
So, Franz, you were rather, Rocco was telling about the dimensions of the stage and everything. How much room do you have with the wings at backstage?
Well, let me show you. So, I'll tell you. Yeah. So, the whole thing, the whole House of Magic is 20,000 square feet. And I wanted as much of it as possible to be in front of the audience where the guests could see it. So backstage is nothing.
Yeah.
Here, you can actually see it. This is all of backstage. This is it right here. This is the whole thing. It's just nothing. All the props are preset. Here's the thing. This is actually built by Joaquin Ayala. This is one of our cooler pieces. Everything, I'll see if I can do this and also hold the camera, but everything folds flat. It all folds down and breaks apart. Here is Girly Roulette. There's Haruka. Here's another prop they're presetting right now. This thing also is huge, but backstage, it uses up minimal floor space, or what we call a footprint. Here's a car appearance. Again, it's really small. The whole car appearance is only 6 feet wide. It's two units, 6 feet wide each, so it's just nothing. Here's the opening. Here, I'll take you backstage. I will show you. Here's Houdini. Here's the Houdini Escape that's preset. Here are the floating cube and the spare floating cube for if one breaks. Quick change room. Nobody's quick changing in here, but this is where the girls would be. This is where they've got all their costumes during the show. One interesting thing about this show is it is in front of an LED screen, which means there's no such thing as black art. In fact, it is the opposite of black art. So everything, how do I explain this? All the load chambers need to go away. Once they're used, they go away.
Right.
So when the audience sees something or someone appear and they backtrack and they try to decipher, you know, the method, by that time the space is gone because they're literally looking at LED. So, and at the same time, when I do...
The light light shining more in their face, or is it just it's, that the screen has changed such that it camouflages?
Well, it's two things. One, the screen does change, and the screen changes as I need it to change, so it definitely does camouflage as needed. But then, as soon as a piece of equipment is clean, the screen becomes very bright in that area to kind of basically prove that there's nothing there. So, here we've got Hector looking at Girly Roulette. This is Girly Roulette is actually my cutting in half. I wanted to... Doug Henning did a thing many years ago where he cut two girls in half at the same time and exchanged their bottoms. And this is my little nod to him. It's basically cutting four girls in half and spinning around. You can see all this stuff. Having said that, we're back with Rocco. Have we taken him into your theater yet?
Yeah.
Have we gone to your theater? We did?
No,
no, we haven't done that?
We've been everywhere so far.
No, just in here. All right.
No, we've been everywhere.
We've been to all the theaters. Ah, really?
I didn't do it.
All right. What's the question, Scott?
I was saying, what's the largest illusion that you've done on that stage?
The largest illusion that I've done on that,
done on that stage?
I would say understanding a Chinese audience. That is probably the biggest illusion. No. I never really thought about it. I guess that's it right there. That's Girly. That fills the whole stage. Girly Roulette. The car is pretty big. It's hard to describe this stuff, but you know what I can do is I'll send you some photographs and video and you can use that as well. They're all pretty big. You know, the whole mega show, well, actually, I'll tell you the whole philosophy of the place. As Rocco follows me, you want to be a part of this, Rocco? No, Rocco's smoking his illusion cigarettes. Basically, my philosophy for this place, that's not really the word, the production design philosophy, was I wanted to create a show, an experience with four magicians, but I wanted to give each of those magicians their own space, their own world. So, came up with a simple backstory that there is the Illusioneer. The Illusioneer is Travis Winkler, who's just freaking incredible. He's a magician, but more than that, he's an actor, he's an improv artist. And Travis is this Victorian inventor. And so the Illusioneer has created this machine, this capsule that allows him to travel through time and space, and he does so looking for real magic. And everywhere that he travels, where he finds real magic, he takes and he duplicates those spaces in his laboratory. So today, the idea is that today this capsule happens to be in Macau, and you as the audience, as guests, happen to walk into this capsule right here and now, and it zaps you back to the late 1800s to his laboratory. And you're in his laboratory, and you see the ball. I'll show you the laboratory. Let's take a look at the laboratory. So the laboratory is basically his workspace. Now, we're redoing all the floors right now, so unfortunately, the floor is, show this here, this is ugly. This is not what it's supposed to look like. This is terrible. It looks like a giant Home Depot right now. But the laboratory is basically, how am I going to do that? Here we are. It's basically filled with his toys, gizmos, things that he's collected. The big teleporter machine over here. And again, you can see all this stuff online, and I'll send you some video as well. But that's where the audience ends up.
Steampunk type of a thing, I guess.
Yeah, more Jules Vernian than anything, because I wanted the place to be intelligent.
Okay.
I wanted it to have, you know, a kind of cleanliness to it. So then the idea is that he's duplicated these magical spaces, one of them being this Parisian opera house, or kind of a vaudeville house. And that is right here. This is Rocco World. Hey, there you are. So this is the Majestic Theater, and this is sort of this kind of a Paris playhouse, turn of the last century. The other place that he duplicated is over here. I'll take you for a walk. This is the Lair. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's it. That's a better explanation than I had. Here's the Lair. So the Lair is very Tolkien-esque, kind of Middle Earth. You can see what's going on over here. It's a castle, and the idea is that it was an amphitheater, in the forest, and the forest has kind of taken over the space. So this was intended for guys like Jeff McBride and Lysander, and, you know, guys who are a bit more mystic. And so it's power magic as opposed to puzzle magic, which actually, Rocco, you're sort of power magic. What you do is power.
It's
very real. Yeah. Yeah, so you're sort of in the wrong theater, actually. Yeah. You should probably be in this theater, but that's how I digress.
Hector does a great job in this theater.
Yeah. Right over here. Yeah, this is Hector World.
He does one of the best Rose effects I've ever seen, Hector. Amazing. I love that Rose effect.
You got to see it. So here, in between the theaters is the Grand Hall. You're seeing everything with the lights all on, and it's just all ugly.
Here's the bathroom. Let me tell you, I spent so much time designing every freaking corner of this place. You know, these pictures, I took all these pictures.
This is a San Francisco. That's Mexico City. There is the Edison Workshop. 3.5 years. This is 3.5 years of my life. 3.5 years.
It's amazing. It looks like it.
The illusions. The illusions in Mega. Oh, the last
year.
Say.
I was going to say, I remember last year when we were in Italy in Rimini, and you were talking about the House of Magic and promoting that, telling everybody to
right.
take a look, and it was
right.
I think that was, back, of course, like last August, and this opened when just
October,
January, so it's just been over a year.
Yeah, a year and a couple months in October. Yeah. So, while I'm on this track here, because I will forget, the last room is the Mega Magic Theater, and that's basically futuristic. So it's kind of a Star Trekian. That's where my show is.
Wow,
and again, the idea is that all these different spaces were recreated by the Illusioneer. The Mega Magic Show, what I did there is, it's hard to explain, but I'll try. When we tour large arenas, we go in pretty big, anywhere from 8 to 16 semi-trucks. It's a big thing. The night before we open, we do what's called a tech rehearsal, a tech run. That's full out, light, sound, LED, everything, full out. But the audience is made entirely of the security guards, of the people setting up the chairs, of the local ushers. So it's like 200 or 300 local crew and workers, and they are our audience. So what they do is they come to the very front of the stage, right up his front, as close as they possibly can, and they watch this pretty substantial production designed for, you know, for 20,000-30,000 people, but it's just for 200-300 people. And their experience, I see it in their eyes every time. It's so powerful because they're looking at these very, very big, large effects right up close. And I thought, this is something that I want to duplicate for everyone. This is it's a unique experience that happens just by accident, but there's some real magic here. There's something really there. So what this is Mega Magic is my arena show. It's my stadium show. It's the same thing we do for stadiums. But the audience is 300 people. That's it. And so they're right up close.
Yeah, so basically you're giving everybody a up-close show.
They can literally feel the heat of the jet engines. They feel the wind. You know, they feel it. It's right there in their face.
Oh, feet vibrate.
And the stage, the theater vibrates. Yeah, uh-huh. That was a delightful little accident, actually.
I don't know how that happens. That fire comes out, you can feel the whole theater shake.
It's called moving air. So what happens is the audiences come in, they go into the lab, they split into two groups of 150 people. Half of them see Rocco, the other half see Hector or whoever's here at the time. And then they change, they see the opposing shows, and then they come together into Mega Magic for the big show, and then out into the gift shop where they spend whatever money they have. And that's the whole experience.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. So, really amazing.
I feel like we should be talking about Rocco, because this is your interview, right?
All of this, by the way, the House of Magic is just a small microcosm of a larger casino. Is that right?
This is Studio City. It's big. It's the size of Caesar's
hotel room. 150 hotel
rooms? No, 1,800.
Oh, 1,800 rooms.
Caesar's about the same size as Caesar's Palace. So it's a big, big place. And we're the big show, which is kind of cool. And while we have Rocco and we've got a good double
two-shot going on here. Let me tell you something. This is going to sound like crap. It's going to sound like I'm saying this because Rocco's standing next to me. Oh, my God, my hair looks terrible. That's not what I'm saying. But let me tell you, this is the honest-to-God truth. We have, since we've opened, we've had 20-some, more than that, magicians passing through here. Huge names, great names. Luis de Matas, Mark Halen, a bunch of guys. Rudy Kobe, there you go. Well, yes. Yes, Rudy Kobe. So we know what it's like, and we understand the reactions that we get from really world-class guys at Hector. When Rocco showed up, and I swear this is the truth, everybody in this building noticed a change. Everybody at House of Magic noticed a change in the audiences. Because when they pass through Rocco, by the time they leave Rocco's show, they are supercharged. All I can do is, and Hector sees it too, because Hector gets that benefit of having an audience pass through Rocco. Sounds like you're the colon of magic.
That happier.
So, yes.
I make them laugh. I make them. I touch them with magic. That's
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
Make them happy.
Yes. After they pass through Rocco, they are little kids. They become
little kids.
Exactly. And they're so open
they're
optimistic.
Magic,
they're
right.
buying into it.
They're
everything.
Into magic, right.
So by the time they get to me, oh my gosh, I don't have to work at all. I could stand up on stage and just reorganize my wallet, and I'd get applause, you know?
He kills me. He does a great job with
it. I'll do that, actually. I'll do the wallet.
Yeah, no, the audience here are very receptive to magic.
Yep.
They come here looking for it.
But you don't know this, because this is you every day, but there is a difference between when you're here and when you're not.
Wow.
And when you arrive, everything changed. We call it the Rocco effect. And I'm not making this
up. Wow, I don't know what
I was
about
gone.
That, Scott. What do you think, Scott?
So Rocco is here. Right.
The way you do.
Right.
Turning your head, the look of your eye.
He's doing it now. As Scott, as you're describing him, he's fighting not to do it, but he's actually doing those gestures. He's going through it. It's fine. He's going through the motions. So it is just Rocco, it's I won't hug you now because you got your cup and I'm holding your thing, but it's a spiritual hug. There we go.
I appreciate it, man.
So, right, so I've just been rambling here. Why don't you be an interviewer and, you know, talk to Rocco, not to me, you know? This is not my barbecue, you know?
We'll get right back to our guided tour of the House of Magic with Franz Ferrari and Rocco in just a few moments. But first, a word from our sponsor, Mr. Eric Citron and the Great American Magic Company. Good day there, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Scott?
Fantastic. Well, we're into this new year, getting all settled and everything. And and how are things going with the Magic Company? What's new?
It's doing well. I mean, we're picking up new customers every day and trying to get the orders out on time with the holidays to mail. You know, we lose a day for Christmas. We lose a day for New Year's Day. So that's a little frustrating. We'd like to get the orders out as soon as we get the tricks ready to go. But by and large, it's doing very well. Thank
sure.
you.
Sure. And I understand that you had just recently placed an ad with Vanish Magazine. So you got a full-page ad. So people who are looking at the magazine should be sure to look at that. And the advantage, of course, of the magazine there online is they can just click on that and go immediately to your website.
Exactly. We have a full-page ad in Vanish for the for the next 12 months. And starting in March, we have a full-page ad in Genie as well.
And I know during the holidays that we had some specials that were running as far as either you had free shipping or that you had a discount, and I believe you got something going on then currently. Is that right, for a 20% discount?
I have 20% discount off of all digital downloads from now until the end of January. If you put the code 2020 in the promo code when you check out, all digital downloads are 20% off.
Wow, that sounds like a great deal. Because first of all, I think digital downloads are the way to go because you get them immediately, and it's almost like a point of purchase sale whenever that you're standing in line to grocery or wherever, and there's something right there, and you say, yeah, I'll take this also, and you don't have to wait for it. And even as fast as Amazon.com is of delivering things, that this is even quicker because you can get turned around immediately. So once that they go ahead and publish or purchase a digital download, then it goes into their basket and I assume is within not just 24 hours, but just almost immediately. Is that true?
It's immediately, yep.
So they could, to do that, get all kinds of downloads. Sometimes the ideas that are shared there are oftentimes just a one-trick type of thing, and other things are multiple tricks or lectures that you can receive. So that's a great deal.
The digital downloads that we carry are lectures or also e-books. So it runs the gamut of, you know, multiple performers giving lectures on various topics, as well as e-books on, a specific topic as well.
So have you had anything that you would say has been a bestseller or something that was really popular over the holidays that was a must-have?
It seems that Peter Turner's book and his seemed very popular. We had a bunch of people order those.
And that's a digital download also?
It is. It's Mentalism, and it's not inexpensive. It's $112, but with the 20% discount that we're giving now, you know, it's a bargain.
Wow, that is good. So how many pages is that?
It's a four-volume set of Reading Billets, Dual Reality, and Psychological Card Magic Forces by Peter Turner. It's an e-book. It's probably closer to 350 pages.
Wow. Ton of stuff. But yeah, the $20 discount or 20% discount, that's a great deal. Even more than $20 when you look at it that way.
Exactly. And you also get 2,200 reward points that you can use for to purchase other things on our site as well.
Now, what are the reward points?
So for every dollar you spend with us, you get reward points. And when you accumulate a certain amount of points, you can trade those in for cash, so to speak, and buy things on the site.
How nice. That's great. Well, Eric, thank you very much again for telling us about what's going on and a few updates with the GreatAmericanMagicCompany.com. That's the website to go and check out if you're looking for anything because they've got thousands of items out there. How many again?
We have over 12,000 items, 1,600 digital downloads. And like I said, we now carry Outlaw Effects on our site. We carry Sean Begonia's Handkerchief Effects, which are unbelievable. And we carry some other pros on there. So we have a wide variety of something that will appeal to everyone from the beginner to the seasoned pro.
Sounds great. Well, Eric, thank you again for being our sponsor. And so now we return back to our conversation with Rocco and Franz Serrari in the House of Magic at Macau, China.
It's owned by Studio City. It's owned by Lawrence Ho, the owner, who's become a good friend. It's depending on who you talk to, and there are no official numbers out because nobody wants to. It becomes a big political game. The number, it's right around 50 million, right in there. But, it's higher, it's lower, it's just nobody wants to commit to a number because there's so much politics. I can tell you that the magic there's in my show alone, this magic is about 13 million, right around there. So, and then you've got sound, light, effects, LED, staging, everything else. And Rocco is crazy money. Mm-hmm. He's like $2 million just for Rocco.
Yeah, well,
very
so
costly.
I got to pay taxes on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me show you the magic shop. Come with me, Rocco.
How many assistants do you have working
here? The total place is about 45 people. Mega Magic is 36 people. The rest are ushers.
I'm going to try to not lock that stuff out here.
Here, we'll close this door here.
And I've got Hyman. I want to show Hyman, my assistant, who works real hard setting up the shows, and he's a great magician himself.
Here,
we're going to see the magic shop.
Oh, this is the magic shop, but it's closed.
Can't really see it.
We'll walk right here. There it is. There is the magic shop.
Okay, some of the cool stuff that they're selling. I assume it's not just cups and balls.
It's mostly cups and balls and thumbtips. Yeah. It's
a lot of magic sets, a lot of stuff with my face on it. There's all, you know. So, but it's pretty much your standard stuff. There's a couple things here that, I mean...
The fact of the matter is we've got a dissecto, and but nobody buys that. People who come here, they're not magicians. At least magicians aren't coming to the magic shop. These are normal people with the kids, and so it's, you know, it's Eddie's magic. Eddie's been a good friend of mine for 30 years. Oh, my gosh, 30 years, Eddie. So it's basically Eddie, and we took his stuff, and I changed around a little bit, stuck my face on it. That's about it.
You've got stuff, don't you? Not yet, but I'm sure you
don't have.
You've been giving me
set?
Anything else to take. I'm sure
no,
you
but
will.
Is there a Rocco magic set?
Oh, no, just the Prisma
just
lights.
The that's light.
What, that's Prisma lights now.
And where could we buy the Prisma lights?
www.murphysmagic.com.
Do we have that on the screen here? Let's see. www.murphysmagic.com. We'll add all this to post.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Oh, then where do you buy it retail?
Any magic shop? Maybe Scott, you have an online magic dealership?
I have an online magic shop.
They can get it right from Scott. What is it, Scott?
Yeah.
What is it again? What is your online shop?
Oh, look, there it is on the screen. The graphic is on the screen.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Beautiful.
That's
nice. Yeah, Scott, hopefully they can get them from you. Prisma Lights. You know, we're trying to hit a new generation of young kids, so we renamed the
Also, product. While you're buying that, if you could just send money to Rocco, just because he's a nice guy.
That's it. I'll donate
20s
I'll donate
are good.
10%. I'll tie 10%.
10%, yeah. Just add 10% just for Rocco. It's just in principle. I'm going to show you something else. I'm going to show you...
Yeah, Murphy's approached me, you know, really asked me the patent expired. He said, what would it cost us? What we have to do to put your face and name on the product? They shot a trailer. It's doing real well. And I just spoke to him the other day. They're reordering again from China. They're selling out. They did a great trailer. The product's better than before. And they're going to keep it around for the next 20 years. So that's what I can say about it. I hope all the young kids enjoy it because we're trying to reach the public now. To give magic to everybody and kids and the public a chance to learn magic and expose the Prisma light for everyone to get hooked on magic. We want to get people hooked on magic.
So you're a giver.
I'm a giver, man.
You're like the UNICEF
of
magicians.
I give gum away, candy away, knives away.
All right, I want to show you something.
This is
the orb.
What do you see this?
This is, in fact, I will take the camera. I'm going to show you the orb. This is another one of my designs here. It's the biggest illusion effect ever built. The most costly. I design everything. Let's go downstairs. I'll go for a walk. Not only the orb, but also the stairs, the surrounding. Because of the method to this thing, because of the geometry of it, everything had it to be intertwined all the way down to that stripe on the floor. And this was a chunk of change. The aura basically floats up and down all day and all night. And it's empty right now because it's pretty late. But there it is. It does that all day, up and down. It's a big, giant, crystalline orb full of lasers and a ring that's floating around it. And all day and all night... It does that. I don't know if you can see how big that is. There it is.
The
orb is, I forgot, I think it's 7.5, 8 feet in diameter. And the ring is a lot bigger than that. And the whole thing's just all day, all night. I'll tell you, the hardest part I had was figuring out how to get the power for the laser. That's a 20-watt full-spectrum laser inside the orb. And I have to figure out how to get the power into that ball because obviously it's floating, you know, hint, hint.
Yeah.
And so there's no cables. You can't have any cables or wires or anything connected. So how to get that much energy to the ball? So if you figure it out, email me. I'll give you yes or no answers. And so here we are. Here's downstairs. Here's the casino. There's Rocco and his assistant.
an audience member, I'm going to say. So we're back. So,
yeah, let's do that. Let's go to Rocco's dressing room. We'll follow Rocco. I think Rocco has forgotten that we're still live.
We're still live. Hey.
We're still live.
What's up, man?
See, Rocco went to another place. So we're going to go back to the magic shop and into the dressing room. That'll be exciting.
Okay.
Let's see. Here's a poster.
Me with makeup. And Rocco.
It is. Yeah, three months run.
Okay.
You're missing a moment here. Rocco is doing the electricity gag in front of one of our billboards. You look good. You out of here? This is Hector saying goodbye. This is your life. You want to say goodbye to Hector? Anything
go
for Hector?
Go visit Hector on Hector is Magic. All you young girls, this guy is single, and you got to see him perform.
Hector is Magic.
Hector is Magic.
We wish we were as cool as Hector
when we
were Hector's age. We wish.
You guys are great.
Right. We could be his father.
Hector, thank you for shooting.
My pleasure. Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thank you, Hector.
See you, everybody.
Now,
it's a pleasure.
You have a girlfriend here, don't you? Can we
say that? No, he's single. He's single. Hector is Magic. He's single.
We have a friend.
He's single.
We have a friend here. All right.
Whether you do that to me, whether.
All right. Hector's gone, but we're going to go into Rocco's dressing room. See ya.
All right.
And,
I want your response. Question. It's like 3 months at a time.
Yeah, 3 months at a time. Bruce Gold. Bruce Gold is the talent booker. What he does is he basically submits. He's the first step in the gauntlet. So you kind of got to go through the Bruce gauntlet. And if he thinks you're good enough, then he submits that to the casino here. And then there's seven or eight guys in suits that look at everything, and they're the final decision. And then if you're booked, you're in for 3 months. And here we are, back.
Okay.
We're back.
What kind of act are you usually looking for? Are you looking
I can tell you. We're looking for good humans, good people, because I got to work with you for 3 months. So, you know, good people. Ideally silent, non-talking, silent, no birds, no doves, no animals. You need to be able to preset in 5 minutes. That's right, 5 minutes, kids. So you need to do an act for 15 minutes, preset in 5 minutes. In Rocco's case, that means having two of everything.
Yeah.
So it's preset and just boom, and you're done. Did I say no birds, no animals?
No birds.
And that's it, and no talking. Here's the stage.
Fire, I guess.
Yeah, but low on the list. Put it this way, in Mega Magic, I've got more fire than any illusion show in the history of illusion shows.
Fire.
So, not to toot my own horn, but what's the point? You know, why do fire when the audience is going to go to the next theater and, you know, get their eyelashes burned? So now I'm going to go backstage, and we're going to look at Rocco's dressing room. Blow gum paper out. What does this mean? What does all this mean? Look at this.
These are my notes. Things that went wrong. So
things that went wrong.
Oh, here are Rocco's nuts. There you go.
This is on my
I just like saying that. Rocco's nuts. Rocco's nuts.
These are some of my props on stage.
I just want to say that.
This is my list of everything that goes in my pocket so I don't forget. This is my cat.
This is
my lion. I got a little bit of this, and everybody marks down how many shows.
Oh yeah, Kalen and Ginger. This was started by Luis de Matos. Mm-hmm. Where's Luis? That's Luis.
I don't know.
There's Rocco. Yeah.
That's where we're at so
and
far.
Let's take a moment and go back to Rocco's nuts. There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
These are the nuts I produce.
There you go.
It turns into a Snickers bar.
Yes.
Here's backstage a whole lot of nothing.
Just clothes.
Yep.
No, I'm not doing that here. No, but I'll show it to you when I see effectors.
Can we show the inside of your
table? Yeah, the inside of the table.
Here's the inside of Rocco's table.
Yeah, that's what we got here.
That's something.
These are my coins, the newspaper here that goes here. This is the electronic pipe that...
There you go. That's pretty cool, huh?
It smokes.
All right. So now we will...
Hey, look, the wife just showed up. Although I can't see that right now, Rocco, when you designed that, did you make that so that you could have easy access, obviously, for grabbing certain things in a certain order?
Of course. Yes, of course, from left to right. Yeah. So as I take things, they go from left, and I keep working my way to the right. Yes, everything's in my case there.
And so as far as, do you have like a dump bag, or do you dump it back on the table, or is there a Blackwell in there?
No. Pretty much everything I take out of there, I give away to the audience. I give them a tie, I give them a tube of lipstick, I give them a Snickers bar.
And that is freaking brilliant,
I give away about four packs of gum.
Brilliant.
I give away.
Brilliant.
It just gets thrown out to the audience.
And let's talk about
for
that.
For them to take home.
Because if you were a real magician, which you are, why would you be saving the stuff
Why would
produce?
I be saving the stuff that
why
I
Why would
produce?
You make a bird appear and then stick it in a
I
cage?
I would send it free and fly
exactly.
it into the sky.
Exactly.
So I produce about 250 euros, 200 bill euros,
right.
that I give to the audience.
That's it.
And the other day, I was walking to the casino to go do a little gambling next door. Mm-hmm. Somebody hands me a bill of 200 euros.
Really?
I says, "Wow, thank you very much." I went to look at it, and it's the phony money I use in the show. They take it and they collect it.
But
I give everything away.
The philosophy of just making something appear and just setting it free.
Yeah, that's
if
that's
I ever, if I, which I won't because it's not me. But if I ever do like a tiger act, I will just produce tigers and release them into the audience and
into the wild.
Run into the audience.
Yeah. Years ago, at the Las Vegas seminar, that Michael Weber was in the contest, as I recall, did $100 bill change, and then just gave the bill to volunteers sitting at the table. And they tried to get it back. I said, "No, I can do that anytime. Just you keep it."
That's the whole premise.
That's it.
That's the premise. If you're a real magician, you don't want it back.
That's it.
That's it.
Absolutely it.
You guys. So you get the chance to see the act effectors because I'm going to be doing it there word for word.
This is really good lighting. You should just stay here. You sure you want to see my dressing room? Well, I'll tell you though, my dressing room is an elevator ride far away. And so I don't even go to it myself. I gave. Rocco, are you coming? This is your interview. Oh my God. Being with Rocco is like being with a 6-year-old kid. It's like going to Disneyland with a kid for the first time.
Yeah.
You see the world anew. You see the world through Rocco's eyes.
Yeah.
It's yep.
So amazing.
So
the fact how this stuff all works.
That's actually true. I was surprised. Rocco's asking me questions that I was sure.
With pulleys.
I thought you were kidding me.
No.
Because he goes, how's it work?
All these chains and all these gadgets. Look, look at the stage.
Oh, the stage is like crazy rigged.
Spins around.
Totally rigged.
That blows, totally
Scott,
rigged.
I got to send you a video. I'm going to forget to do that. So what I was saying is my dressing room is an elevator ride and far away. And so I just give it to one of the magicians. In fact, do you have my dressing room?
Look at this contrasted.
So here
what
he goes.
See? You got gas that pipes over here. You got
things.
HCL2 gasoline.
It makes a lot of fire.
And the
back
noise
to,
it makes.
Yeah, and a lot of noise. So, yes, I will finish my point here, and that is the dressing room so far away that I don't use it. I think you've got my dressing room, actually.
Yeah. Oh.
But I use my quick change room for everything. So I've got a quick change room right off stage here. That's it. And this is what I use for my whole world here. It's far from glamorous. I have my computer set up here. So this is my dressing room. It's still full of Christmas garbage.
Gummy bears.
Here, you can take that.
Gummy bears.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, it is true. People give me a lot of gummies, a lot of stuff. So that is for my wife.
Oh,
but why don't you let her drink it?
Oh, we'd love to have a glass
there
of wine.
There you go. She have a glass of wine. She was in the audience.
Do you have an opener?
I see. We found Rocco on wine.
No,
so interview what? What? Who? What? Scott? What?
Oh my God.
So, but I will show you something. I'm going to show you a secret.
Do you have a different Christmas show to perform over there that's different from your regular show?
Before I forget, here are MRIs of my something I had. I think my spleen. No, it's exactly the same show. The only difference is the dancers, I allowed them to wear Santa hats or reindeer ears, and that's about it. Because the people who are coming, firstly, they're Chinese.
And so to the Chinese Christmas, there's nothing, you
biblical
know,
or Christian
yeah,
about
nothing. It's really, it's Christmas trees and Santas and snowmen,
Santa
you know.
Santa Claus playing a saxophone. That's what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. No nativity. So there's a little bit of that, but they, by the time they've bought into the House of Magic, they basically bought into, you know, me, into my brand. And I don't want to cloud that with a bunch of ho-ho-ho, because it's not what they're buying. So I pretty much stick to what I am, you know. Every once in a while, I'll make a Santa up here. But they're looking to see what they saw on television live. Yeah, this is built by Joaquin Ayala. All this, this all moves.
It's amazing.
There's a motor attached to it.
Pipes, motor, gadgets, pulleys, this.
And also, I am a robot, so here you go.
Yeah,
look at that. I can do this. You know.
So. Mike Michaels, robot.
Yeah. That's right. Yes. Here, I give you. Here are gummy bears that have been tacked up by other magicians waiting for consumption.
Up, take them off there, then eat them on
all right. They're all over the theater.
This is a whole different look of magic from what I'm used to. You know, I'm used to close-up magic, sleight of hand, hide it, produce it. This is like grand skill. Production meets production. It's totally blows my mind.
It's a machine. It's a big, giant
it's
machine.
It's controlled chaos.
They have, with the LED screens behind you, do they have a camera
that's
on you so people can see?
In, that's what don't have. No. In the arenas and stadiums, we do, absolutely. And that becomes the primary show element. Here, the audience is right there. That's it. That's 300 seats. They're so freaking close that, I mean, look at, there's the back row. So there's really no need for a camera, you know. We might put them in there just because it's fun, but they don't really need
How
it.
How long is
you
your
know?
Show?
Mega Magic is 34 minutes, sometimes 35. It's a, and it really is, it's a machine. I am one cog in the machine, which is not good because there's so much technology. Everything is on show control. It's just one track. Basically, a guy up there, a guy hits a button, and sound, light, and video goes. And if I'm having a bad day, it doesn't matter because it's going, you know? So it means there's very, very little opportunity to improv, you know, to roll with it. I've got three moments in the...
Yeah, I would think,
There's
like the music and the sound, the light's going, and you drop something.
It's going. It's going, you know. There's three moments in the show where I can kind of break out and play with audience members a bit. Other than that, I am one more gear in the machine, and that's it.
And when Franz is not here, he's got other people that he's trained to stand in for him and do the exact same show the way Franz does.
Get younger, skinnier versions of me. Leon Etienne, Perry Kaz.
Joaquin Ayala.
Yeah, Joaquin kills.
Valenti's done it.
Valenti, yep, bunch of guys. So... So, I see
I
that...
Think of, you say Etienne Perrier, is that the one from Canada?
Leon Etienne?
Yeah. Who be the one wheel, he's always at Fetters, correct?
Yeah, Leon.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, that's why I know. Yes, right.
Yeah, he's great. I've seen him do the mega. He's very good at it, too.
Yep, he really is. And he's the guy who put gummy bears everywhere. I end up reappearing back there, and for me to get there, I have to walk around the backside of the theater, and... There's like a trail of gummy bears. Like, what's the Hans Christian Andersen thing? The trail of seeds or trail of well, some story. Basically, it's a trail of gummy bears for me to find my way. And Rocco has consumed all the gummy bears.
I did. Look,
all right. So, so Rocco has discovered live streaming.
Yeah,
we've discovered live streaming. You can go to my Facebook and you can see these things that Rocco has done. All of them.
Yeah.
We have done on the fly with no rehearsal, and mostly it's me going, hey, Rocco, we're live, go. And Rocco goes, oh, man, why do you do that to me?
Right.
Oh, man.
Right.
And I promised I would never do that to him again, except, of course, we have about 5 minutes left on this interview. And so as Rocco stands in front of me right here, right now, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Rocco Solano, right here.
Let's go to my dressing room.
Your dressing room.
You should
right here. We should do it right here. You can't do it. Can't do it.
Not when I do
it. You see? You have to describe what's going on.
Oh, you can't see it. All right. Yeah, you can't see it.
Yeah, you should just talk big. He's pulling a squirrel out of his brain.
There you go.
Oh, my God. And the squirrel is now, we'll call it dancing? No, it's mating with his brain. No. Let's see. Back in the Grand Hall. Back in all these, look, these are all every single piece of artwork here was designed by yours truly. It's just so much work. Thousands and thousands and thousands of pages. Right.
Is there something that you could share where there's been something going on that you're collecting the next show?
All the time. All the time. Usually what happens is we have a lot. I don't love technology because technology breaks. But because of the nature of this place, because we're doing so many shows, I had to resort to technology. And so stuff breaks all the time. So when something breaks, you just kind of get good at dancing around it. Then it's out for the next show. And usually out for the rest of the day. It gets repaired that night. And then the next day it's back. But when something is out, then you just learn to bypass it. So they hit a couple buttons in the program and everything skips forward. The video, lighting, automation, everything skips forward to the next illusion. And the magician needs to act as a transition to make it smooth. That's really the art to doing this. You know, Scott, I could teach you to do Mega Magic in 2 hours. And you could do the show in 2 hours. Because it's mostly pointing to music. But the skill, besides being able to communicate to an audience and being able to, sell it to an audience, really the skill is being ready for technical failures and being ready to improvise and, kind of do your dance. That's really what it's all about.
Well, that's a very good point. You know? And it is about that, but also having the charisma we were talking about earlier and being able to break that fourth wall. I wrote an article some years ago about the box pointers and people who are illusionists kind of pointing at this box and that box and their systems are the ones being cut up and everything.
But right.
What was it that made Thurston and Keller and Blackstone, more successful than, John and Steve and Charlie, So it has to do with that charisma and also I think with what you just pointed out, Hans, that is the ability to take care of situations that happen that you
can Scott, I'm going to go off on a rant. This is going to be more therapeutic for me than anything, but you hit on a point that's huge to me. There was a time when to be an illusionist, to be a magician, meant that you created magic. You engineered, you designed, you used magic psychologies, and you created new magic, and then you performed that magic. And somewhere along the line, that stopped. And now you can be a magician by buying an origami, an interlude, and a cube zag, and you are a magician. I have a very, very difficult time accepting that performer as a magician. Now, I know they are, but what's the difference between a kid who's just bought a magic set and is now doing a ball boz? He's a magician, as is David Blaine is a magician. They're all magicians. So what the hell does it mean to be a magician anymore other than to buy a prop and boom, you're a freaking magician? I don't know. So I believe to be a true, this is me, to be a true magician, you have got to create magic. Otherwise you're a karaoke singer.
Carl Bell said, just because someone gives you medicine, that doesn't make them a doctor. Just because someone gives you legal advice, doesn't make them a lawyer.
Right.
To be a magician, to be a doctor, you have to know all the past history of medicine. You have to know all the new coming stuff. You have to know your patient inside and out.
Now, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of guys doing origamis and thin model sawings or whatever the hell the trick of the day is, modern arts. Thousands, I don't know. I mean, they're making money at it. They're making a living, so power to you. Rock and roll. They're entertainers. They're entertainers. They're performers.
It's not the effect that makes the star, but rather the star that makes the effect.
So I don't know where to put it. There's a lot of guys out there making a lot of money, but I don't know where to put that, because
what do you do with an art form that is, you know, by definition an art form that anybody can do if they have enough money from their rich uncle to go out and buy an illusion show? And I have sold so many illusions to guys who have no talent but have a basement full of my stuff. You know?
Only entertainment. You go to a store, you buy a trick, and they call themselves the magician.
It's, I don't know.
So we need to elevate the art of magic.
Yes.
We need to elevate the art of
magic. My mantra is do something new. Whatever you do. There was a time, a long time, 26 years, I was hanging with Michael Jackson, and very early on, it sounds like such a name drop. That's not what I mean. The important thing is what he taught me, because I live with it, is he goes, whatever you do, do it different and better than anybody before you. And I know I've lived with that, and you have too, Rocco. Yeah. And everybody I talk to, any magician I talk to, certainly young guys, I say, look, whatever you do, be different. Do your own thing. Do something that 1,000 other guys aren't doing. This means Rocco is ready. Was that a cue? You need an audience. Do you want an audience for
this? That's the problem. We don't have an audience. We have an audience.
Okay, we're going to go outside. So the improv magic that Rocco was going to do only took him 6 minutes to get ready for it. So.
But what you were saying as far as sometimes doing something unique that's different, I remember Mike Law talking about Vernon telling him that you just taught me to play that one thing and do it better than anyone else. For example, that the topic is associated with Michael Law, although Pat Page and so many other people have done it very well, but it seems to go with him, and that's a classic and not necessarily something new or something original, but he has just found methods and performance pieces that he can do with that.
It's
that makes that uniquely his.
You know, art.
But I think he also...
art.
I just said, we live in an age with magic being seen by so many people. There are more and more people who are seeing it, certainly thanks to you and a lot on others, who are letting the masses, those in Chinese, see this as well, and others who are traveling the world coming to the House of Magic. But I'm just saying, and also with more of a big show on television in the U.S., but for the most part, whatever that's myself and others will perform for an audience, so they do the best that they can. They would say, well, we all did that. And then you kind of hate to ask the obvious question, well, how many of you say, well, you're the only one I've seen, why? Well, you know, there's not a good base of comparison as opposed to saying that they have seen a rock band or a piano player or a singer, you know, because they are there are millions of them, but just a few thousand of us. So
right.
We're in a very unique situation and have a unique craft or art.
Well, art by definition is the communication of the human experience. So whatever you do and however you use magic as that tool, you've got to be communicating you. You've got to be communicating your view on life, on that experience, and it's got to be different than everybody else out there. And that's really where it all just chops. It's just it's kind of makes me crazy. Now, I want to point out, Rocco has again gotten distracted. We're now opening wine that he discovered backstage in my dressing room. So we've gone over to wine. Oh, it is for my wife.
Yeah.
But no, we thought too loud. Let's go outside, find an usher, and we're going to do some magic. And then that'll be it. And we're at 59 minutes.
Okay.
That's a good little interview.
I was going to say, after we finish, there's one thing I do want to close with. You can be thinking about this. Mm-hmm. In my podcast, called the Magic Word Podcast, that I always like to close and ask my guests what their word is. Not necessarily a word, it could be a phrase or a sentence. It's a motto, it's your chi, what is your philosophy of life, what you wake up in the morning, what keeps you going. So, what would be important to you?
Is this a question for Rocco or for me?
No, for both of you.
For me, what's important to me? Creating something new. I don't know that I've got a phrase. I mean, I'll steal Jackson's. Whatever you do, do it different and better than anyone before you. I see, hey, Rocco, I see two people. You want to do magic with these guys? Or is this wine? I don't know if Rocco's holding wine to drink or wine for magic. Is that magic?
I was going to do a trick with you guys.
Oh, all right. Let me go see if I can sneak an audience. Hold on a second. Hey, guys. We are shooting a live stream of some magic at the House of Magic.
Come on over
for 1 minute. We'll show you something. All right. We have an audience of two people right here.
Excellent.
All right. With Rocco. So let me find some good light. And there we go.
Hey guys, this is Rocco Silano right here. Rocco, you up? All right. Let's find some good light. There we go.
All right.
Yep. So Rocco has just, he's eating sugar. That's what it looks like. It looks like he's eaten, and now he's produced a cigarette. And there's that squirrel again, and the squirrel is back. Nope, and now he's lighting the cigarette and doing a play-by-play and filling a glass with smoke. That's pretty cool. A little bit creepy that he's filled the glass with smoke and cigarette has vanished. The smoke pours from one glass to the other glass. This is pretty cool, Rocco. He's drinking the smoke. I see some issues. Oh, look at there, and the cigarette's back. And there's the audience response right there. You represent the entire audience of Macau, China, the whole area. It's all you.
Okay.
You represent the whole thing. So, there we are. All right. And we're back to Rocco. And Rocco is more smoke into the glass. This is all very ethereal. And the glass pours smoke into another glass. Rocco looking very intent. And what do we have? What do we have? Ice. Ice has appeared in the hands of Rocco Silano. Back to the reaction of the audience.
All right.
And a straw. I know he got water, adding water to the ice. Waving the magic straw. I'm not sure what's happening. I can honestly, I don't know what's going to happen here. Oh my gosh, and the water, can we say that's wine? Rocco Silano has changed water into wine.
You want to taste it? See if it's wine? Taste it. Tell them if it's wine. Does it smell like wine?
It smells something.
Does it taste like wine?
It tastes a bit like wine.
It tastes a bit like wine.
There
you go.
Wine ice. It is wine.
Rocco Silano, live at the House of Magic.
It is wine.
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 Pretty cool. Hey, thanks, guys.
It is
guys.
Wine. Okay, thank you.
All right, so there's the entrance. Here is my restaurant, Shanghai Magic. And here's the pod. That's you see on the video.
So we're going back inside, and you got to ask Rocco that same question.
You said, Franz, that whenever that you talking pieces, I guess, to the audience, you, I assume over the period of time you learned some Chinese, so you converse a little bit.
You know, the words that I know are minimal, and most of them are bad. I can do my show. Hi, how are you? Come with me. Sit down. This is for you. Happy birthday. Applaud. Yeah. Watch this. You know, stuff like that. But a couple of years, not too long ago, there's a word, I'm not sure I can say this on your pod. Well, I will. I'm going to say there's not a lot of Chinese people listening to this. There is a phrase called "Shir Lama," which is how you doing. "Shir Lama," it's a Mandarin for how you doing, normal phrase. And so that's how I open my show, especially in mainland China. And I'm going to apologize in advance right now for anyone Chinese listening to this. I also learned "Chao Ni Ma." And that phrase has a very different meaning that basically means go fornicate your own mother. So I cleaned that up so you can make it a bit more colorful. And I said that once to an audience of 42,000 people. That was exciting. So Rocco is back going into his theater. Rocco, we got to close all this up.
All right, Scott.
And Scott's got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. What is your philosophy on magic? And if you were a condiment,
yeah,
what would you be? If you were
something
a condiment, something sweet.
Honey.
Honey? Is honey a condiment?
Yeah, honey is
not
good
like
for
a Worcestershire sauce?
Or, no, honey.
No?
Honey is good for the body.
So the answer is Rocco would be honey.
Honey. And what would you be?
Honey be. I'd be Salsa.
Maybe. Salsa, all right, all right.
Yeah, I don't know, I never really thought about it.
We'll leave it by, to achieve all that is possible, you must attempt the impossible. To be all that you can be, you must dream of being more.
You had this rehearsed, didn't you? You guys rehearsed this?
I know that one. I know
you had this rehearsed.
I got that one by heart.
All right, so Scott, that's it. I have to leave. Rocco has to leave, mostly because we have the wine.
And God bless everybody, and have a happy new year. May God bless you.
There you go. You heard it from the Godfather of Magic. Every time I introduce Rocco, it's a different introduction just for me. My favorite has been, I can't believe he's not Mafia. It's Rocco.
I've heard that one. I've heard Godfather. I heard Mr. Facebook.
So that's my private little fun to introduce Rocco.
I'm always bringing Franz something, either a pack of gum.
That's right.
Or
on stage,
or next time I'm gonna give him a hug.
Yeah, there you go. All right,
he's a lot of fun to work with. I'm telling you, he lives magic. This guy. So together, we just have a good time
it's
doing
true.
Magic.
It's very true.
Yeah. Stop. All right. And I'm gonna see you in April, right? Yo, thank you for this interview, man. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you,
all right.
Carlos, for your time, and thank you both for the tour of the House of Magic by Franz Ferrara.
Bye, right, Scott.
Later, bye.
Thank you, Scott. Goodbye.
Well, that was some fun, and I enjoyed that too. I hope that you did, even though that you couldn't see it, that I hope that it was a feast for the ears, so you perhaps might be encouraged to go and take a look at the video that's on the website at themagicwordpodcast.com, and then some of that will actually come to life. It's kind of like, I remember the first time I had read the Harry Potter book series, and I had a visual image of what the young wizard looked like, and then when you see him on the screen, it kept pretty close to what I thought he was going to look like, but the problem there was, I guess, that once you actually see something, then it crystallizes something, and from then on that you will always remember that person rather than what your imagination used. So perhaps some of you may not choose to go and take a look at the video because the image you have in your mind might be very clear and perhaps be something that you don't want to dispel that illusion that you have as opposed to seeing the real thing. But I do say that once you see the video, you will be impressed. This is one heck of a beautiful theater, and the whole design, everything is just phenomenal, and it's larger than you can possibly imagine over there. And so this is it was pretty cool. And I want to thank Franz for making this come pass today, and also for Rocco for reaching out and saying, hey, you know, give me a call. Let's talk about this. I'd like to do a podcast, and I look forward to seeing Rocco again coming up in a few months over at Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic over in Batavia, New York. And so again, thanks, Franz, and thanks to Rocco, and I appreciate your time and putting this all together. And now it's time for a couple of product reviews from Murphy's Magic Supplies. First up, I want to talk about Thumbtippedia, which is from Vernet Magic, and Vernet makes the premier thumb tips because, as they say, when you think about a thumb tip, Vernet instantly comes to your mind. And that should be true because they seem to be the premier thumb tip maker in the world. Now, first of all, when I think of Thumbtippedia and the picture they have on the cover of the video, it is a picture of a thumb tip that kind of looks like it's eroded or eaten away a little bit. And the very title, Thumbtippedia, it looks like it comes kind of as a play on Wikipedia. And likewise, when you go to Wikipedia, that you see the planet Earth, and part of it is kind of chipped away, kind of like a big jigsaw puzzle. That's kind of what the thumb tip looks like. Now, so when I get this, the first thing comes to mind, so, well, it looks like there must be a lot of contributors and people who will be adding to this, because indeed that's what Wikipedia is about, in which that it can be added to all the time. That's not necessarily the case. This is something that is a high production quality, very good. It's nice to watch, good lighting and good instruction. This is pretty much for the beginner, so I would recommend that, not thinking that you're going to be learning anything new necessarily. For most of us, you might even want to skip through the explanations and just watch the effect, because it kind of brings to mind, oh yeah, I know that one, I know that one, I know how to do that, I don't need the instructions. However, there are some subtleties that you would overlook if you don't listen to and watch the explanations that are with that. But I was going to say again that with Wikipedia, where you have a lot of contributors, there are only a few contributors. Actually, it's the same person who is describing, performing, and explaining the tricks with the thumb tips. But there are a few
people who have contributed, or they are their tricks that they say this belongs to, or this was by permission of these individuals and who had contributed. In particular, there are a couple that are really good. Of course, Roger Klaus's thumb tips, which is in here using the thumb tip that was based on the Michael Kozlowski $100 bill change. But a couple things that kind of stick out to me that I really enjoyed. It reminded me of one that I had almost forgotten that was a David Williamson idea, I believe it's called Sweet Retreat. The idea was that you have a cup and a saucer. You have the volunteer to wipe out the cup and the saucer. They place the saucer on top of the cup. You vanish then the sugar. They are holding the cup and saucer. When they remove the lid, then they can pour out the sugar from the cup into the saucer without you having ever touched it. Very clever handling. It's a great idea, and was something that I believe David had put into his videotapes as well as one of his books. It may have been in Williamson's Wonder. I'm not sure. But the other thing is a great idea by Gary Darwin that is a wristwatch effect that basically you borrow a watch and ask if it's shock absorbent or not, and anyhow that you accidentally jar it and then you can pour out pieces of watch parts basically, and then you put them back together and hand them the restored watch. Very clever. But there are several things in here. There are different chapters. There's a parlor, close-up, there are special thumb tips, and then a couple of ideas for magicians only. And with the parlor and close-up, I believe there are about 15 parlor and 14 close-up effects, and I believe the running time is about an hour on this. Basically, there is an idea in there that comes to mind. I thought was particularly clever, and I was not aware of. I believe it's called Knot Out, in which basically it's a cut restored ribbon. It has some handling and preparation of the thumb tip that I hadn't seen before and fooled me. And so I really particularly enjoyed that. Anyhow, something that I would recommend if you, even if you have a thumb tip, if you have Gary Darwin's book on thumb tips or you have anything else and you think you know everything, this would be a nice supplement to that. If you're just getting into magic or you're wanting to give a gift to a beginner magician, perhaps a young person, your child, if you have want to get something as a gift for their birthday or some holiday or something, I believe this is a good introduction for someone to get involved with this, because it comes not only with the DVD, but a thumb tip comes with it. And size-wise, it looks like that's about a medium thumb tip, and it's just the hard plastic, just the common one that you would normally buy. So he does talk about in their instruction about using jumbo thumb tips or soft thumb tips and some others, but the one that comes with this is just the standard one, which is just fine. That's the one that you would probably use in 90% of the cases. And so, again, comes complete with the DVD and the thumb tip, all included from Vernet Magic. And that is called Thumbtippedia, and I would say this is recommended. Certainly, again, not just for beginners, but maybe for some intermediates then also, and some of the seasoned pros perhaps, to kind of remind us of some of those cool things we might have done before but haven't done in a while and might want to reintroduce at certain times. So, recommended. Thumbtippedia, Vernet Magic. All right, up next is a trick that's available from Vanishing Ink through Murphy's Magic Supplies, and this is a creation of Chris Westfall called Cigatration, and basically it's a cigarette through quarter, which is a classic. Now, cigarette through quarter goes back quite a few years. Presley Guitar, who lives up in Dallas, was the originator of the cigarette through quarter, and in his case, that it has a spring hinge and is a phenomenal thing. The idea is, when I was talking with Presley about this so many years ago, that he said he had developed that because he is a smoker himself and he goes to a coffee shop regularly each morning. And I think he was, back in the days when you could smoke in restaurants, he was showing a waitress this thing. And basically the idea was for him to put the cigarette while the lit end on the cigarette. So as it would heat up, then basically then he could put the cigarette through the quarter. And there have been various presentations of that. And I think one of the best switches was something that Michael Amar had put out early in the years whenever that the cigarette through quarter first came out and was popularized. And then it kind of fell into, oh, into history, I guess, particularly since there are fewer people who smoke, and you can't smoke indoors, I think, most any place. Gosh, even in Ireland, I know you can't smoke in bars over there, which seems amazing to me, and other places around the world, of course, throughout the U.S. as well. But the point is that there are people who still smoke, but they just take it outside. And so there are smoking patios and verandas that are outside of restaurants and bars. And so if you happen to be performing in some venue like that, or as an impromptu thing, then this will be the perfect thing for that type of performing area or venue. Now, this particular thing is cheaper than usual because it does not have the spring. This basically is the Ross Bertram idea that was published many years ago, which was originally, I think, a pencil through quarter. And Chris references this as well. And you get the gimmick as well as the DVD with this, so this way that you can perform it. Now, you can't perform it right out of the box, basically, whenever that you receive it, because in his presentation uses a bit of flash paper. So I will say that you're going to need to get some flash paper in order to perform this. And I think the presentation is just really great. I love it. Let me back up a little bit and say, whenever you first open up the package and you pull out the DVD, be careful because the gimmick is in there then also. That's in a little plastic Ziploc bag. But I think the DVD itself is pretty cool. It looks like a giant coin or a quarter with a hole, of course, in the middle of it, which DVDs have, and it looks like the gimmick that you receive. So it's very, very clever. I was impressed by the subtlety of that, or maybe not so subtle. So anyhow, the routine and the video itself is, I mean, the video is less than 15 minutes in explanation and presentation and all the bonus effects that you get with it as well, because he has an example or presentation in which that he switches the coin in his hand and then he gives you a bonus restoration in which it can be dropped into their hand and change in midair. It's kind of a cool little thing. So this is a nice little effect. It's not necessarily something that a youth would do, certainly someone under 18 who shouldn't have access to cigarettes to begin with. So if it's something that you do, if you do smoke or that you work in an environment occasionally where there might be some smokers, again, on the patio or somewhere outside, then this is a pretty cool effect. It's something that you can kind of carry with you. It's not something you're going to be doing all the time, but at the right moment, it is really cool. I like the idea that he uses with the flash paper and also the volunteers' keys on their keychain. Really clever. Good thinking here all together. So I enjoyed it. I like the presentation, and I'd recommend it. Again, for those who don't mind using cigarettes and don't mind carrying around an extra prop, if you will, just waiting for that exact moment. Chris says this is one of the most requested coin effects that he performs, and I'm sure that's true. It's just, could be something that is a reputation maker. The cigarette through quarter has always been great. The pencil through quarter has been good. This is something perhaps that could be adapted for a pencil through quarter, but because of the use of the flash paper and everything, that it wouldn't quite translate as well. But the coin can be used, again, for a pencil through quarter, and you could use it so that way. So at the price of $15, I think it's a darn good deal. And it's a good DVD, and I enjoyed it, and I would recommend it. Again, Cigatration by Chris Westfall. Well, that wraps up our couple of reviews for this week. And remember that these Murphy's Magic Supplies items are available through the Magic Store here on the Magic Board Podcast, or you can purchase them from our sponsor, thegreatamericanmagiccompany.com. Go and check them out. So as we close out this podcast, and holy cow, look at the time. Boy, I didn't realize that I had been going on this long, so I apologize for this going into close to an hour and a half over here, but I hope that you've enjoyed it. I've had a great time with this, so I'll leave you just with a couple of thoughts. One is I want to make sure that you go to themagicwordpodcast.com and be sure and click on the link that will take you to amazon.com. The Magic Word Podcast has an affiliate program with Amazon that helps support us, so everything that you purchase on Amazon, a little bit of that goes back to help us. So we would appreciate, again, if you, even if you have a Prime account, go ahead and click on that, it will go ahead and it will automatically go to the account that you have, whether it's a Prime account or regular account, whatever. Anyhow, you get the idea. We appreciate your support. Just think of Amazon.com of helping the Magic Word podcast. And the second thing I want to tell you is who will be our guest next week. This is going to be kind of fun because as a follow-up to this week's podcast with Rocco and Franz, we're going to talk with the talent coordinator or the talent agent who helps book the talent for the House of Magic of Franz Ferrari there in Studio City in Macau. And that is Bruce Gold. So be sure and come back next week and hear what Bruce has to say, because he has a lot of stuff that is quite interesting, more than just about how to get booked there, but also about his creativity and some of the things that he's been working with, some of the stories he talks about and working with the Oscars backstage. Really kind of interesting, and I think you'll enjoy the stories as well. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember, to achieve the possible, you must attempt the impossible. And to be all that you can be, you must dream of being more. This is Scotty out.